That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Ah.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hello and welcome to The Price of Football, the show that looks at the money behind the beautiful game. The number one sports podcast in Dominica, number six in Lebanon, number nine in Hong Kong, and number 296 in the boardroom of at least one championship club. He is Liverpool's university's Kieran Maguire, chuckling like Santa Claus. That's a lovely little Christmassy chuckle there, Kieran. That's very nice.
Well, thank you very much. Well, I'm celebrating having seen a football match live on Sunday at the weekend. Remember before we'd recorded the show, yes, prior to Brighton playing Sheffield United.
Yeah.
And I think I said at the time, I cannot get any pleasure out of Palace losing 7-0 at home to Liverpool, because I thought we were going to outshit you that weekend. And we did our very best. You know, 10 men, Sheffield United.
Yeah.
And we only just scabbed a draw.
Well done for not mentioning the 7-0 all the way through last week's pod when it just happened, Kieran. Thank you for that. I am tempted, Kieran, as I raise my second glass of Baileys of the day, I'm tempted to paraphrase a great Bill Murray in Scrooged by saying, what sort of rat bastard schedules a pod for Christmas Eve?
Yes.
The answer to that is Guy. And if you know the film, Guy is also the sort of person who would staple antlers to a mouse's head. But the world of football never stops, Kieran. So here we are doing a podcast for Christmas Eve. And there'll be a couple of others during the Christmas break as well, which we're also doing now. We can let the magic in. But this is the news one. The world of football never stops, Kieran, and neither can we. And we do have some proper big news stories. And arguably the biggest of the stories, Kieran, is the most recent. This happened less than an hour ago. News came through that Kieran Trippier has been banned for 10 weeks from all football and fined 70,000 euros. For infringing gambling regulations, and it seems to be the rules around providing information to people before games.
Yes, and this is intriguing in the sense that this is a charge by the Football Association, but it's a worldwide ban, and that will be enforced in Spain.
Oh, it's our FA that's brought the charges, not Spain. I see.
It's our FA. Kieran Trippier was up on seven charges, of which four have been proven. So he's going to miss 12 games for Atletico. And I think he's going to miss, therefore, the first leg against Chelsea in the Champions League. So that's bad news for him, bad news for Atletico, because they're doing really well this season. And I'm always pleased when the duopoly at the top of Spanish football is challenged, regardless by who. But as you rightly said, it was in respect of, I think this is section E1B of guidance to players or something of that nature, specifically with regards to providing information to third parties. Now, one can only presume that this is in relation to tactics, formations, who's going to be playing and so on. And this will have implications for markets, because if you're setting up a market and you know who's starting the game in advance, it allows you to have a competitive advantage. But the relationship between players and the betting industry is always an uneasy one. I mean, I can understand the logic of the football associations all over Europe saying we don't want players to be gambling because clearly that's a conflict of interest. But I've spoken to one or two people at clubs who have gambling sponsors, and they say there are issues which go beyond that. I mean, the nature of football, it's very competitive. You've got highly charged young men with a lot of disposable income. So quite often the betting company will come along and say, we want you to be not necessarily our ambassador, but could you come along to one of our presentations with the club and things of this nature. And the player's agent will say, what's in it for my client? And the gambling company will say, we'll give you 10 grand's worth of free bets.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the player becomes enmeshed within that gambling environment, and that 10 grand disappears quickly, and then it starts to get up. So we have seen a lot of players, unfortunately, reveal their addiction to gambling, and it's an ongoing issue. It's not one or two. We're hearing it far too often. What on earth possessed Kieran Trippier, who is a very wealthy young man, clearly he's an England international. We all remember the 2018 World Cup and things of that nature. So he will have made an awful lot of money. What has possessed him, or what has necessitated him having to give this information to other parties? Because he must know the rules. Players are told and that they are they're educated on things of this nature.
It's difficult for Kieran Trippier. I mean, we shouldn't speculate, because until the details are released, if they ever are, of course, social media is such that this could range anywhere from him telling international gambling syndicates who's in a team, or it could be him telling a mate that he's not playing. So it does cover a wide range, and I suspect that he or his agent may like to reveal what the real story is, if it's at the less serious end of the scale. But we know that Spain take a harsher approach to gambling sponsors than we do, because they've banned it, I think, for the end of the season. Is this in any way embarrassing, do you think, for the likes of Paddy Power or William Hill, or indeed Sky Bet, who encouraged so many people to bet on football?
I don't think it is embarrassing. I mean, they all run legitimate businesses. Clearly, there is an ongoing debate at Parliament. We've seen the recommendations from the House of Lords. We've seen the pushback from the EFL, because football's got a monetary crisis at present. And as we've said on more than one occasion, the gambling companies are the biggest players in town. So yeah. It's certainly not going to help the cause of those who are fighting the rear guard on behalf of gambling. I'm more concerned about it from a player's point of view.
Yeah. Your Uncle Terry ran a legitimate business, and that didn't end particularly well either. So following our discussion at some length last week, Kieran, of the convicted fraudster attempting to buy Grimsby Town, Ian Holloway, manager and I believe shareholder at the club, has resigned. Are these stories linked?
I don't think so. I mean, Ian Holloway, he resigned on Twitter, which is a strange way to conduct things. So he is still a shareholder at Grimsby Town Football Club. He was a director, and that his resignation as a director went through within a couple of hours. The fact that it pinged into my inbox via Companies House by about 10:30 this morning shows that things can operate very quickly. He, by all accounts, voted against the convicted fraudster Alex May becoming involved with the club. But it does appear that the majority shareholder, who's a guy called John Fenty, is very keen on moving the club on. There are interested parties. It's very, very difficult to summarise things from Twitter, because by its very nature, it's a condensed form of communication. But I think Ian Holloway had communication with the prospective owners, and for whatever reason, there wasn't a good relationship forming between both parties. So under those circumstances, he's gone. He felt, I came to work here with John Fenty. Perhaps he's saying he wasn't aware that the club was up for sale, and he feels unhappy. The reaction from Grimsby Town Football Club fans, I think it's fair to say, is mixed.
Yeah.
As a fan, your main focus is on results on the pitch. Yeah. Grimsby haven't had a great season. The fans are pointing towards Ian Holloway, holding him responsible for a significant amount of that. I like Ian Holloway, full stop. Yeah, I'm a member of his fan club because I'm aware of his personal circumstances. You know, I'm aware that he's got, I think his wife is deaf. He's got two children who are profoundly deaf. And how, as a family man, he's incredibly dedicated. He's learnt signing and things of that nature. And for me, he's, I'm not a Grimsby Town fan. Yeah, make that quite clear. But, in the good bloke stakes, he's riding high in my estimation because he's a committed family guy, and I think he's for that he earns a lot of credit in my book. I can understand it from a fan's point of view and turn around and say, well, the football's been crap and his signings have been rubbish, so we think he's just using this as an excuse to ride out of town.
Yeah. I quite like the fact that my email occasionally pings with a Christmas message from a comedian who forgot to send a card, and yours pings with a director resigning from a football club. I hope, did it come up with a little wreath of holly and perhaps a little touch of jingle bells just for a festive touch, or does directors' company's house not work like that?
Well, I think if we want to bring some seasonal cheer to company's house, the next time I'm talking to Parliament, I'll suggest that.
Nice drop. Well done. A little bit further up the East Coast, and this is a very bizarre story even by our standards, Kieran. A potential buyer of Sunderland had a very wacky few hours just the other day. First of all, he threatened to sue the Roker Report fanzine, and then he offered to fight them, which was a cracking couple of hours on social media for Sunderland fans who like a bit of light entertainment.
Yes, this is William Story, and I think you're right to use the word wacky in more ways than one with regards to his Twitter spat with the Roker Report. So the Roker Report, for people who aren't familiar, it's sort of morphed effectively from a fanzine into a website for Sunderland fans. We're big fans of Roker Report because they were behind the big soup kitchen promotion, and they've raised over £27,000 in respect of this, that North East soup kitchen. So amazing efforts by all Sunderland fans, and that's the thing we, in an ideal world, we should be talking about. On the Roker Report, one of the contributors wrote an article which was critical of William Story. If people want to Google William Story, that's Storey, and Haas Formula One, this was an interesting period of his life where he was involved in sponsoring a Formula One team with his amazing energy drink, which does amazing things, according to William Story. And that deal was terminated very quickly. I think only lasted 1 year out of a 3-year deal. And I've taken a look at his main company, or certainly the main companies sort of in theory linked with Sunderland, which has not published any account since 2017. And William Story claims that he's putting forward a £45 million offer to Stuart Donald at Sunderland. He says there was one in July and there was one in November, and Sunderland are saying, well, we don't see him as a credible takeover guy. His company had, for this 440, it had £581 in the bank. Now, I think you and I at present, Kevin, we'd actually quite like £581 in our bank account because it is Christmas Eve and we're skint. But even so, that's not sending huge amounts of envy, and it doesn't really help his claim to be a credible potential buyer. And I've also been looking at William Story's other companies, and he's got one which is called Wolf Jerky Limited, which I thought was a Profanosaurus entry.
Okay.
And indeed, it soon might be if I put my mind to it. So it's certainly an unusual person. He looks like one of the guys out of ZZ Top. And he initially responded to what we've seen in the Roker Report article. We're saying, well, yeah, you better have good lawyers. This is going to get the result in a libel claim.
Yeah.
And then within the hour, he followed this up with an offer to fight four members of Roker Report to raise money for the soup kitchen in a charity bundle, in effect. My understanding is that one of the guys from Roker Report isn't actually an experienced mixed martial arts guy. So, I'd pay to watch it. I mean, I'm a lover, not a fighter, as you know, Kevin.
I do.
But even so, if you want to get fans on your side, and I think all owners should always try to do this, and normally there is goodwill, trying to fall out with them before the deal goes through by threatening to sue really isn't the right way to go about it.
Yeah, nothing says I'm a credible buyer more than having 500 quid in the bank and offering to fight four fans in public behind the Tesco's car park, basically.
I'll have you all.
It's literally a bloke in a pub, isn't it, going, I'm buying that club, you know. Talking of Profanosaurus, Kieran, I'm going to let some light into our relationship for our eager listeners, who we all love. But every now and again, you throw an expression into one of our text messages or our WhatsApp group. I'm sure Guy realizes that you and I occasionally text each other and we don't want Guy to know what we're actually thinking. Otherwise, it's the WhatsApp group. But you refer to the potential owner of Sunderland, the chap who's offered to sue and then fight the Sunderland fans, as a professional hat stand. And for the life of me, I can't work out what a professional hat stand means.
Professional hat stand is actually was the name ascribed to one of the guys from Viz, Roger Irrelevant, who would just talk complete bollocks all the time. So that's why I linked Mr. Story's somewhat erratic behaviour to one of my favourite characters.
There you go. No link is tenuous when you understand it, isn't it? Yeah, Roger Melly was always my favourite character. Anyway, Kieran, you know that I'm a massive fan of this time of year. It's my favourite time of the year. The day before Christmas Eve is actually my favourite day. So thank you. Thanks to Guy for taking a 3-hour chunk out of it so we could do this. And I wouldn't like to ruin anybody's Christmas, Kieran, not even Sepp Blatter's, who's over there in snowy Switzerland. And I know it's snowing because I spoke to a friend of mine this morning. But FIFA have lodged a criminal complaint naming Mr. Blatter about mismanagement of the World Football Museum in Zurich. And that's financial mismanagement, I presume, rather than running out of Ferenc Puskas postcards on a Wednesday afternoon.
it is indeed. I mean, this is all to do with the FIFA Museum project. I get hold of FIFA's accounts every year, and I've been sort of monitoring this over the past few years. It's the rock and roll lifestyle that makes you so envious of me, Kevin, I can imagine. And the weird thing is that this, I've seen the numbers going up and up with regards to this particular museum project. FIFA have spent £420 million renovating a building that they don't actually own.
Nice.
Yep, £420 million. You could build, you know, if half of Spurs' new ground for that, you know, a museum. What's going to show? You know, a few old photos, an old ball from one of the old World Cups, and a few shirts, and that's about it.
Do they rent it, Kieran, or do they just not know they don't own it?
Well, I think they've probably got it on a long lease or something of that nature. And FIFA have said that there are suspicious circumstances with regards to how the money was spent, which were combined with management failures, and some of those circumstances were criminal in nature. So who has been receiving this £420 million, I guess, is one of the things. So this all arose as a result of FIFA's auditing of their activities. Remember, we were saying on one of the recent shows that the majority of football clubs in this country are not audited.
Indeed,
so we're not necessarily in a position to throw too many stones at this one. Sepp Blatter's lawyer, in a classic silver-tongued response, has claimed that the charges are baseless and repudiated. And his client is pristine in terms of his behavior and, you know, helps old little old ladies across the road and all of that. So Sepp Blatter is presently banned from football in all areas for a period of 6 years. This does not reflect well. It certainly doesn't reflect well on him. It doesn't reflect on well on the politics of FIFA. But I think we've been saying since effectively the, you know, one of the first episodes of this show that FIFA is a historically it's a mafiosa organisation. You've only got to look at the list of people who've been banned from football who actually voted for the 2018 and 2022 World Cups.
Yeah.
To realise that, and you know, I was talking to somebody very senior in domestic football a few months ago, and his view was that things have not got any better since Sepp Blatter has gone, which is a shame, and it doesn't give you a lot of confidence in the global way that the game is being run.
This episode of The Price of Football is brought to you by the AI-powered workspace Notion. We are living in an era of information overload and we have more knowledge than ever before. But what do we do with it all? If you're in Notion, you put that knowledge to work.
It's a workspace designed not just for making progress, but getting inspired. And all I can say on a personal level, as for somebody whose life is quite chaotic and I'm writing pieces for government and newspapers and media content, I've got my university commitments and I'm supposed to be writing a book, I use Notion all the time because it brings order into chaos.
Well, if you need order brought to your chaos, you can try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/priceoffootball. That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/priceoffootball, and start turning your ideas into action. That's notion.com/priceoffootball.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
No, to be fair to Sepp Blatter's lawyer, I think you would imagine his initial response would be this is baseless rather than not again. I think that's the very least, that's the minimum level you'd expect from us. Yeah, I'm going to enjoy saying this from a silver tongue friend. FIFA, of course, the world's biggest football organisation, and some of the world's biggest clubs are apparently relying on transfer valuations made by volunteers.
Yes, this was a bizarre story which broke. I think it came from a Dutch investigation into the website, which is called Transfer Market. Now, Transfer Market, it attracts a lot of traffic. It gets, you know, 1 billion views each month. And I use it myself when I'm trying to work out who's gone where and so on. So yeah, I'll be the first to say that I do use it, but I use it with the same degree of confidence that I have in Wikipedia, i.e. I take it with a pinch of salt. Yeah. But it appears that many clubs are using the valuations for players that are quoted in Transfer Market as a basis for buying and selling players. And it comes to light as a result of this Dutch website, which is called Follow the Money, that the values given to players in respect of Transfer Market are actually put together by just bloggers. And there's one guy here called Martin Frundel, who is a social worker in Germany and it says here he's responsible for all of the values for all of the Bundesliga players. And he says, well, if I like the player, I put his value up. And if I don't think the player, I'll put his value down. But I don't get to see all the matches. So, you know, sometimes it's just, you know, there's me and there's a few others. And it appears to be the mentality taken by Transfermarkt, their own admission is, the method isn't scientific, which is putting it quite mildly, is that we just go with the view of the crowd. Now the trouble is, you know, as we both know from the performances of our teams last weekend, the view of the crowd is something which can change very rapidly. And there were, you know, my lot were manning the pitchforks after our scintillating 1-1 draw at home to 10-man Sheffield United, who haven't won a match all season. And the Potter out was trending and so on. And then if we go and win our next match, that view of the crowd will change.
Yeah, cool.
So it seems a very strange one. So I know that some of the other people involved in football do use algorithms to do play evaluations. And again, I take those with a pinch of salt because they tend to be an element of vested interest. But it now appears that clubs themselves in their annual reports are using Transfermarkt values to say, well, our squad is worth such and such. I know that Barcelona had a player called Arthur who was quoted, they quoted Transfermarkt in their most recent annual report saying, oh, he's worth £72 million. And Barcelona fans are going, well, I don't know who came up with that one because, you know, he's been fairly bobbins from day one.
It sounds like it's fairly ripe for corruption, that system, doesn't it, really? If any old Tom, Dick or Harry can go on and just put a valuation in, it seems odd. But I have to congratulate you, Kieran, for using the words Dutch website and moving on straight away. credit where credit's due. You did very well there, Kieran. The SPFL has put out its latest figures. Are they of interest?
Well, the SPFL, it's of interest in the sense that the SPFL is a clearinghouse. It collects money. It negotiates the central sponsorship deals. It negotiates the TV deals in respect of Scottish football. And the downside was that as a result of COVID-19, the money kept coming in fell 13% to just £31 million. And after paying sort of the overhead, it meant that the money therefore going out to Scottish football, that will have fallen by double-digit percentages as well. I've got to say that the SPFL runs an incredibly lean machine. I mean, yeah, we have spoken to Neil Doncaster, and we're hoping to get him on the show again. We'd like to do another Scottish special. It's only got 17 employees. Yeah, you'd think a big institution such as Scottish football would have more people. It's only got 17 employees. Together, they earn £1.2 million a year, which is, you know, less than Mesut Ozil earns in a month. So, you know, it is a lean machine. To give some context of that, the Premier League's got 158 employees. Wow. The EFL have got 89. So to run Scottish football on a shoestring is quite a challenge and quite an achievement. But it's quite a detailed report. I was delighted to see that they've got some new directors, one of whom is a guy called Les Gray. And given the time of year, I hope he's not lonely this Christmas.
No, it's not the Les Gray, is it?
No, man, real Les Gray's dead.
Oh, okay, so it's not. Well, you could have broken that to me more gently, Kieran.
Sorry.
You could have just said no. I don't. Then off air, you could have said, did no one tell you? And I was like, oh, dear. I'm sorry to hear that, Kieran, and I'm very sorry for everybody.
I was a huge Mud fan. You know, I'm sure you and I must have done a bit of Tiger Feet, you know, when we were throwing some shapes when we were younger.
They were from two roads down from me. Mud.
Really?
Yeah, I wonder if my dad knows. He would claim to have known him in the old days. All right, okay. So the unfortunate Les Gray link apart. What else do we know from the Scottish figures?
Well, whilst the money coming in went down, the money going out, the costs increased. And part of the reason for this was increased legal costs, because Scottish football, yeah, they've been having a bit of a barney, as we know. We looked at the Hearts accounts and we said, yeah, they'd spent 600 grand. So it has been, I think, a tough year for Scottish football, because just as we've seen in the EFL, when they decided to close down Leagues 1 and 2 and relegate on that basis, Scottish football didn't take that line down. So costs have gone up, which is good news for our friends with silver tongues, of course. So the legal profession, under all circumstances, whether good or bad in terms of economics, will always do well out of this. Other than that, I think the big competition for me, which is the Tunnocks Caramel Wafer Challenge Cup, has been carried over to 2020-21. So for anybody that was waiting to see how that was going to pan out, that particular tournament, we're going to have to wait a few more months.
Yeah, it's a lovely product, the Tunnocks Caramel. It's very nice. You may not think, Kieran, there's a link between Scotland and Millwall, but history tells us that the majority of the factory workers who made up the first Millwall team were Scottish. Hence the blue shirts and the lion on the shirt as well, apparently. History tells us other things, but that's one of the big stories. But Millwall have released their latest figures too. Now, this will be of some interest to us, because we were talking to Millwall's director of communications not long ago, and of course, we were very pro-Millwall for a couple of days afterwards. It didn't last long, obviously, but, you know.
Oh, I'm an Elephant and Castle boy, as you know. I've always...
Of course, you'll do anything for your local team except support them, Kieran. We've ascertained that. Quite often.
My Uncle Terry was a season ticket holder.
Yeah, so what do Millwall's figures tell us, Kieran?
Well, I think we've always said that the Championships is a bear pit of a division. Millwall's losses doubled to £10 million. So, yeah, we've got a club losing 200 grand a week in the middle of COVID, and it's still the fourth best performing club in the EFL Championship. Yeah, that is indicative of what a complete clown car of a division it is. And they can't agree in that division on a wage cap, so nothing's going to be resolved with regards to that. They didn't manage to sell any players for money last year, whereas the previous season they sold George Saville. And therefore, like many other clubs, they are reliant upon an owner being willing to stick his hand in his pocket and to be fair to, I think, is it John Beresford? He's done that. He's been very generous, put in money. But if you're looking at a business, if you've got a business which is paying £115 in wages for every £100 which is coming through the door, you're on a very slippery slope.
Yeah.
You've lost money before you've put the floodlights on. And how and why this has not been addressed historically. I mean, you know, I appreciate we're operating here in a COVID environment for a few months, but it does show just how difficult it is for clubs to survive, or rather to make money or even break even in that particular division. So Millwall are moseying on. I expect their losses to be surpassed by other clubs as they are announced over the course of the next few months. But until the issue of the Championship is addressed, it's a big fear for me in terms of the future of English football.
Mm. I have to say, I did a Millwall podcast just the other day, and it was a very pleasant experience. So, in fact, the last two podcasts I've done have been a Brighton one and a Millwall one, which just shows how mature I am as a human being, Kieran. We've only got two more news stories, and we will rattle through them because it's Christmas Eve. What are you doing listening to this? You should be out getting last-minute presents and trying to find a pub that might serve you through the back door hatch. A change to the FFP rules is causing chaos. I know one, but I'm not allowed to say it on there. A change to the FFP rules is causing chaos, Kieran, as EFL clubs try to prove that COVID-19 has cut the value of their squads.
This is an interesting story from Sam Cunningham in The Independent. If you take a look at the latest variant of the FFP rules, and let's face it, as more and more of us are moving into Tier 4, there's probably going to be not a lot else to do apart from read this type of nonsense in days to come. The latest variant of the EFL's FFP rules say that the COVID costs can be excluded in respect of your calculations of your FFP losses. So we know that the loss of income in terms of match day ticket sales, you can make an adjustment for that. The costs of testing, and it looks as if the costs of testing are rising very rapidly in respect of EFL clubs. I think they're going to be forced through the government to take. Transport costs are increasing because you can't necessarily get all the players on a single coach as a result of social distancing issues. But then the one which Sam raised was to do with player values. So if you've got a player who you signed for £10 million in the Championship, and as a result of the contraction of the transfer market, you now think you can only sell him for two or three, could you put that through as a COVID-related loss? And in doing so, that will help you in terms of your FFP calculations. Now, the rules are ridiculously vague. You know, I've been through every paragraph of the EFL FFP rules, and whether you're going to get away with that or not seems unclear. And when there's uncertainty, there are opportunities for our good friends.
Yeah.
So if anybody is interested, you know, Appendix 5, Rule 1.1.2 is the place to spend Christmas Eve. I'm sure your family will be absolutely delighted with you if you do that and you're not playing Monopoly. It could lead to another set of conflicts between the EFL and their member clubs because, unfortunately, some clubs are operating in self-interest and are not looking at things on a broader sphere because they want to get a competitive edge, and things of this nature might help them.
I bet you take Monopoly really seriously, don't you?
I love Monopoly.
I bet you. I thought you might do. From the moment I met you, I had you down as somebody who would like Monopoly. Why is the price of testing rising, Kieran? Is it because so many people are trying to get one?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's been talk that if you are a club that's playing in Tier 4, you might now have to be tested two or three times a week.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's not the price per test, it's the volume of tests, which are going to go up.
Now, I think our last Christmas, before we release everybody to enjoy themselves, our last question, I think this is a good news question, good news story, Kieran. I'm getting all sorts of things mixed up there, aren't I? Questions, news, good, bad. I've just noticed how much the glass of Baileys has disappeared. That's probably why I get that question so confused. I think this is a good news story. Sky is going to provide Kick It Out with £3 million worth of funding over the next 3 years. It sounds like a lot of money. Is it?
Yes, it is. I took a look at Kick It Out's most recent financial report, and they got £1.1 million of funding in the year. So this is going to effectively double the funding in theory, and will allow Kick It Out to organise more activities. And it does a lot of good. I know some people will have watched the Anton Ferdinand documentary recently, and sort of I think the comments from Kick It Out at the time along the lines of, we cannot be too critical of organisations such as the FA, because presently, of that £1.1 million of funding, around about a quarter of that comes from each of the PFA, the Premier League, the FA and the Football League. And under those circumstances, if you know that your wages directly, stroke indirectly, are coming from another party, you might feel the need to shake the hand that feeds you. Whereas perhaps they might want, ideally, to take a more robust stance against some of these institutions. So if the money's coming from Sky, then it does, from my point of view, from a governance point of view, it increases the more of the arm's length relationship between Kick It Out and some of the football organisations which provide funding, as well as allowing Kick It Out to extend the sort of the roster of programmes and activities which are excellent.
In that case, well done, Sky. And well done also to our listener, Dan. It's just Dan on Twitter, who devised a drinking game. Obviously, the bingo game wasn't cutting it for Dan that we recently talked about. So he devised a drinking game whereby you took a drink when the various phrases were used, such as of that nature. And if you were taking a drink every time Kieran said of that nature and I said now, you would be in a complete mess. as our listener, Graham Nealon, is one of our many listeners in Australia, pointed out, he listens to the pod very early in the morning, so he can't take part in any drinking games because he won't be going to work the rest of the day. Our next two pods are going to be questions pods, Kieran. We're going to throw the rule book up to the air, just do questions pods. If you want to ask us a question, it's questions@prizeoffootball.com. They obviously won't be on the next two pods because we're going to record those in a moment. But all I can say now, Kieran, is a very Merry Christmas to you and to the Baroness, and a very Merry Christmas to all our listeners. Be kind to each other, be patient, and we'll raise a glass to our empty chairs, and we'll see you on the other side. Take care, everybody.
Well, thank you, Kevin, and Merry Christmas to you and Ali and the family. I know it's been a tough year for us all. On a personal level, I'd like to thank you for keeping me sane over the course of the last 12 months. And it's been an absolute honour to work with you.
Do you know what, Kieran? That's such a kind thing to say. I can't think of anything flippant to top it off. So Merry Christmas to you all. The Prize of Football. Prize of Football.